Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 19. Jeremiah and chapter number 19. We are halfway through with the series of the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet to a backslidden nation. And we're doing something special and unique going through this series is we're taking the book of Jeremiah in chronological order, or the order that it happened in time, in history. And so even though we're only on Jeremiah chapter 19 today, we are halfway through our series because we've actually bounced back and forth to different passages. Remember the last time that we met in Jeremiah chapter 18, we talked as God had brought Jeremiah to a potter. And he observed as the potter took a piece of clay and made out of that clay a vessel. And the message that God was giving through that object lesson was that we need to remain moldable. We need to be soft in the master's hands. We need to be able to allow the master to mold us and to make us into the vessel, the instrument that he desires for us to have. Well, with that context in mind, a continuation, God now tells Jeremiah to grab a bottle and a pot and to go preach another message with a couple of object lessons. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 19. Jeremiah 19, and notice with me in verse 1. Jeremiah 19, in verse 1, the word of God says this. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense into it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it to my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth by shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness, wherewith their enemies, and they shall seek their lives and straiten them. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel, and cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury them. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, even make this city as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense to all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a word that we find five or six times in Jeremiah chapter number 19? The first mention of it is in verse number 6. Jeremiah 19 verse 6. Notice the word Tophet. The word Tophet. And you'll see it once again, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. Verse 14, you'll see this word over and over. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message dealing with the Valley of Tophet. The Valley of Tophet. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. A God who's worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be served. As we come up to you, I'm very understanding of my own inadequacy, my own inability, my own frailty. With a message such as this, I'm asking that your power come in a very special way, that you would grab a hold of people's hearts, that they'd be able to set aside any kind of thing that may distract them even now, and that they could give to you their full and undivided attention. I'm asking that you would use this message in eternal ways. And because of that, once again, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your precious spirit, knowing that only you can do your own work through your precious word. We're asking that you would do that today, that you would be with everything that is said, everything that is done, that you would set it in order. You'd be with my lips. You'd be with my tongue, that your spirit would be working in the hearts of everyone in the sound of my voice. And we love you. Thank you again for being a wonderful God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, in the previous chapter, God has told Jeremiah to go to the potter, and there he learned an object lesson. That an object lesson is using a physical object to teach a spiritual lesson. And in the book of Jeremiah, God uses object lessons quite a bit. And remember, dealing with the potter and the clay, that God is the potter and that we're the clay, and that God is the one who molds us and makes us. As long as that pot is surrendered, as long as that clay is surrendered, God can make exactly what he wants from it. The problem is that when there's hard spots, when there's spots that are not yielded, it mars the entire pot. And God teaches a lesson that we're supposed to be moldable. We're supposed to be makeable. We're supposed to be soft to God's leading and God's moving, that we're to allow God to do his own work. Well, right off the heels of that, God tells Jeremiah to go and to use some object lessons, specifically the object lesson of the Valley of Tophet. Now, before we go here, we need to get some context. So the very first thing I'd like to explain to you this morning is, first of all, the history of Tophet. The history of Tophet. Notice, if you don't mind, as we jump into this, notice with me verse 2. And God is telling Jeremiah some instructions. And go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate. And there proclaim the words that I shall tell you. And then once again, we'll see that he comes to the place of Tophet. Now, what is occurring is that the valley of Tophet is a valley that's on the southern border of the city of Jerusalem. If you know your history and geography, that Jerusalem is built on a series of hills. And around Jerusalem, because of the hills, there's a couple different valleys. There is a valley to the east of Jerusalem that on the other side of Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives, the Olivets. And so there is a valley separating Jerusalem from that valley. On the southern part of Jerusalem is another valley, the Valley of Hinnom, which is also called the Valley of Tophet. Now, if you could use your divine imagination, some of you are construction people, some of you might understand some of the process of it, is that people produce trash, right? That's why you have the trash people come to your house every week, because you generate a lot of trash. And something has to be done with the trash. Well, in a city such as Jerusalem in the ancient world, they had no such thing as waste management. They didn't have dump trucks to come by. And even if you did, you still have to do something with the trash. For example, something has to be done with your trash, right? They don't put it in the back of the truck and then it just magically disappears. Something has to be done with it. Well, with logistics, Jerusalem is built on top of a hill, and there's a valley to the south of it, and someone someday said, guess what? We need somewhere to put our trash. We need somewhere to put the dirty diapers. We need somewhere to put all this other stuff. So we got to put it somewhere. So what they did is they started to throw the trash into the Valley of Hinnom, which is the south of Jerusalem. And it became the trash dump. And that year after year after year, they would dump their trash. Well, if you know something else about trash is that it doesn't necessarily walk away. And so after doing it for year after year after year after year, what starts to happen to that valley is it starts to begin filled with trash. Now you got to do something else with it. So what they did is someone came up with the idea that we need to do something with this trash or it's going to overrun us. Let's burn this trash. And so what happened is the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, the Valley of Hinnom, began to be a place where not only did you throw your trash, but it also began to know as a place that the fire continually burned. That there was always more trash to throw into it. And so it was a place that was an ever-burning trash heap. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, that valley to the south of Jerusalem was a continually burning trash heap. It was a place where the trash was always burning. It was a place where the worms and the maggots were always crawling around because that's what happens in trash. It was a place that was continually burning. In addition, after a while, someone else came up with a different idea. That as the people begin to go away from God, they begin to worship other gods. Notice, if you don't mind, as Jeremiah recounts this history in the book of Jeremiah chapter 19. The book of Jeremiah chapter 19, notice with me in verse 5. In Jeremiah 19, in verse 5, it says, they have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I command it not, nor spake it, neither came it to my mind. What happened over time as people began to serve other gods, that one of the specific gods that they worshiped was Molech. He was the Moabite god. And in order to worship this god Molech, what they did is they put an image of a face right by the Valley of Hinnom. A big, horrible looking face with an open mouth. Then what they did is they placed a slide from the top of the hill down into the open mouth of this false god. And then one of the most horrible things of all of history occurred. As that people would take their brand new babies and they would roll that baby down the slide into the open mouth of this false god, into that eternal burning trash heap. And they would sacrifice their babies in that ceremony. What a horrible thing. God has some commentary that we'll see some more on it in just a bit. But this is horrible. Can you imagine standing outside that valley? Could you imagine watching this ceremony as someone takes their just a couple day old baby, roll it down the hill, listen to that baby scream as it began to get closer and closer, as that slide which is close to the fire is heated up, and it finally goes into the mouth, that opening jaw of that false god, and that baby would go into that valley. What a horrible history that it had. In fact, that's where the name of Tophet came. The word Tophet carries the idea of banging of the drums. And so it was known as the Valley of the Banging of Drums. Because if you're any normal person, you don't want to hear a baby screaming as it's being rolled to its death. So they would have huge drums that they would bang on to drown out the cries of that baby that was being sacrificed to a false god. What a horrible history that Tophet had. And it was such a horrible history that everyone knew about their history. It had been done as recently as King Manasseh. which was just a couple kings before, that King Manasseh did that to his own children. And so this was Tophet. It was a trash heap. It wasn't just a trash heap. It was a trash heap that was put on fire. It wasn't just a trash heap that had fire where the fire dieth not, where the worm dieth not. It was a trash heap that was burning where people would sacrifice their own babies to a false god. This is a horrible place, the Valley of Tophet, with a horrible history. Not only do we see the history of Tophet, but we also recognize the horrible place that it represented. The horrible place that it represented. That Tophet represented the place of hell. That's what Tophet represented. And that all throughout Bible history, people would recognize this was a picture of hell. Let me prove it to you. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to be coming right back to Jeremiah 19, so keep your place there. But notice with me in Isaiah 30, and you could see for yourself, this was a picture of the awful place called hell. This horrible place that it represented an awful place called hell. You understand, hell is a real place. It is an awful place. It's a place where we don't want people to go there. It's a place of eternal torment and punishment. It is a place where people will not get out of. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 33. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. So the Bible here in the book of Isaiah says, this is what Tophet represents. It represents a place of eternal fire, a place of brimstone. It is a place of eternal punishment. The book of Isaiah chapter 66 makes another reference to it. In the Bible, the book of Isaiah, the last chapter, in fact, the last verse of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 66 and verse 24. Isaiah 66 and verse 24, it says this, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. As the Bible is describing once again, it's saying, you want to know what hell is like? Well, here's a valley where you can go look, where the worm dieth not. It's where the fire is not quenched. This is what hell is like. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the New Testament in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter 5. We could see that this is a horrible place, this awful place called hell. In Matthew, chapter 5, we have what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Most people love the Sermon on the Mount because it starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. And it gives those. But in the midst of this message that Jesus is saying, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus now takes the time to describe what eternal hell is like. Notice with me in the book of Matthew chapter number 5. Notice what Jesus himself says in verse number 29. Matthew 5, 29. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Notice the word hell that is being used there. That word hell comes from the Greek word Gehenna, which is exactly the Valley of Tophet, the Valley of Gehenna. So imagine in your mind someone come up to say, Jesus, we heard that you talked a lot about hell, that you mentioned that there's a lot about what hell is like. So Jesus, can you put in our minds, what is hell like? Jesus says, come here. Let me show you. And he would bring him to the Valley of Tophet, the Valley of Hinnom, which was still burning in Jesus' day. And he says, you want to know what hell is like? That is what hell is like. Notice as Jesus gives a further description in the book of Matthew chapter number 10. The book of Matthew chapter number 10. And in verse 28. Matthew 10 verse 28. He says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to both destroy soul and body in hell." Once again, this is the same thing that Jesus says. You want to know what hell is like? That is what hell is like. Could you imagine what a object lesson that would be to not only just describe what hell is like, but to take people to the edge and say, that is what hell is like. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not. This is a place of eternal fire, a fire that never goes out, that is never quenched. That is what hell is like. You understand, hell is an awful place. It is a real place where real people go there. It is not a subject that we like to talk about, but we must talk about it. The Bible speaks more about hell than he speaks about heaven. God speaks more about hell in the Bible than he speaks about angels. God speaks quite a bit about this awful place called hell. What does the Bible say that hell is like? Well, if you don't mind, may I take some time to just quickly describe to you what the Bible describes hell as being like. The Bible says that hell is a lake of fire in the book of Revelation 20 and verse 15. It's a place of lake of fire. And the book of Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14, God describes hell as a devouring fire. A place where the fires devours the people that's in it. The book of Revelation 20 and verse 1 describes the eternal place of hell as a bottomless pit. It's a place that when you go to that eternal hell, that you feel like you're falling and falling and falling. And you don't know which way is up. You just know that you're falling with no handholds, nothing to grab a hold of. And that's what the eternal place of hell is like. The Bible describes hell in the book of Isaiah chapter 30... in Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42, Jesus describes it as a furnace of fire. A furnace of fire. The Bible describes in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, as a place of torments. And that passage, it says that he is so tormented, the rich man is, that just a drop of water upon his tongue would seem like a major relief. That's how awful hell is like. It is a place of torments. Some people mistakenly joke about hell and say that when they go to hell, them and their friends will go there and have a big party. They will not. It is a place of torment. The Bible describes hell in the book of Revelation chapter 16 and verse 11 as a place where they curse God. You understand, those people, they do not get a brand new body. They get a body that will continually to live, and they will still hate God. Those that hate God now will hate God also in hell for eternity, and they will curse God, and there is no relief. The Bible describes the book of Revelation chapter 22 verses 10 and 11 as a place of filthiness. That is what hell is like. The Bible describes in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 23, Jesus says it is a place where they will never repent. You understand that the drunkard in hell will still desire another drink. The womanizer in hell will still desire more flesh. That the crackhead will still desire another drug to make them high. The thief will still want to steal. They're not going to repent. They don't want to get right. It's a place where they will be eternally tormented, that they still want to sin, but they will not be able to be satisfied. There is nothing they could do. It is a place where they will not repent. The book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, describes hell as a place where there is no rest. There is no nap time in hell. There is no breaks in hell. There is no sleeping in hell. It is eternal torment forever and ever. And ever. The Bible describes hell in Matthew 25 verse 46 as a place of everlasting punishments. Everlasting punishments. The book of Jude in verse 13 describes eternal hell as a place of darkness forever. It is a place that, as the Bible's already described, where you are continually being burned and not being consumed. It's a place where you hate God and it's not going to be fixed. It's a place where you feel like you're falling over and over. It's a place that's so dark you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It is a place of pitch black darkness. Hell is an awful place. The Bible says that in Revelation chapter number 16 and verse 10, that hell is a place where people will gnaw their own tongues. That they're in such torments that they're gnawing on their tongues just to give a little relief. The book of Isaiah chapter 33 verse 11 says that hell is such a place that people's breath is like a living flame, that God's breath on them is a living flame. The book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says that hell was prepared for Satan and his demons, for the devils. And if it was made to torture eternal beings like angels, how worse would it be for a human to go to that awful place? Hell is an awful place. The Bible goes on to describe in Revelation 19 and verse 20 that is a place where people are cast in alive. That it is living people that go to hell. And that they will have a body that will continue to feel pain. They'll continue to have a soul that will feel sorrow and pain and agony. And they will be cast in alive. The Bible says in Revelation 14, 11, it says that the smoke of their torments ascend up forever and ever. Hell is an awful place. The book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 28, we learn that hell is a place where you don't want your loved ones to go. No one should want their friends to go to hell, loved ones to go to hell. We shouldn't want anyone to go to hell. We should never joke about hell because it is not a funny place. In fact, we should almost have a tear in our eyes when we talk about hell. Because it's a place where real people would go. And if one of your loved ones was headed to hell, you should do everything in your power to beg, to plead, to encourage them to repent, to turn to Christ. Because you do not want your loved ones to go to that awful place called hell. The Bible describes hell in the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. It is a place of murderers, liars, the fearful, the abominable. It is a place where real people will go, and it is not the crowd that you want to be with for the rest of eternity. Hell is a real place. And maybe perhaps that you are someone who has never heard that Jesus can forgive you of all of your sins. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that could happen today is for you to be forgiven of your sins so you would not go to that awful place called hell. You understand that real people deserve to go to hell. After all, heaven is a perfect place. That's why we want to go there. Up in heaven, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. It's perfect. That's why we want to go there. But what makes heaven really worth going there is that Jesus is there, that God is there. And how the Bible describes God and Jesus is that He is holy, holy, holy. That word holy carries the idea of perfect. So we could say it this way, that God is perfect, perfect, perfect. But the problem is, dear friend, is that none of us are perfect. You know, I'm a preacher, but I've told lies before. And I'm sure that you'd be willing to admit that you've told lies as well. You know, I'm a preacher, but I've disobeyed my folks before. And I'm sure that you're willing to admit that you've disobeyed your folks. Just those two sins there is what we call the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. The Bible says, to honor thy father and thy mother. Those are two Ten Commandments. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That because I told one lie, because I disobeyed my folks just once, that I deserve death. The Bible describes in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that the second death is the lake of fire. It's hell forever. I, according to the Bible, I don't want to acknowledge this fact. I don't want to agree with it, but I have to because the Bible says so, that because I told one lie, I deserve to go to hell. Because you told one lie according to the Bible, you deserve to go to hell. You say, preacher, this is not good news, and it is not. But God loved us so much that he finished off the verse in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God did not want to see a single person go to that awful place called hell. So what he did is he robed himself in flesh and dwelt on this earth as the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus lived the same life that you and I live, went through the same temptations, the same troubles, and the same heartbreaks. Then he died to pay the price that you and I owe to him. And that all we have to do is accept the free gift that he gave us. The Bible talks about in John 3:16, the most famous Bible verse in all the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That all you have to do in order to go to heaven and not go to hell is to recognize that you're a sinner. And because of your sin, you owe God the awful price of hell. But that Jesus died for you, then you must personally accept Christ to be your Savior. And God promised you that you wouldn't have to go to that awful place called hell. Now, normally, we talk about hell and we usually refer to it as for the lost. So in a message like this, we usually say we hope that some people who have never heard the gospel will come in and hear this. But in the book of Jeremiah chapter 19, the message of the Valley of Tophet and the message that it represents of the place of hell is not being referenced to those who are lost. He's being referenced to those who are saved, who are believers, who say they're God's people. In our reference, they would be the people who go to church. If you don't mind, one last thing I'd like to show you, and this is where we're going to spend our time, in the Valley of Tophet. Turn with me back to Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah chapter 19. We understand that we've explored the history of Tophet, that where this place come from, that it started off as just a trash heap, and then it came to a place where it burned, and it continued to burn for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then it even came to the place where people would sacrifice their babies to false gods. We understand the place it represented, that it was a picture of hell. It was an object lesson, that if you ever wanted to know during that time what was hell like, someone could just point you to that valley of Hinnom and say, that is what hell is like. But if you don't mind, let's turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah 19. And let me show you the message that God is teaching dealing with the Valley of Tophet, the Valley of Gehenna at this time. And we see the hardened hearts of God's people. The hardened hearts of God's people. Notice with me, starting at verse number 1, Jeremiah 19 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. So what God said is that, Jeremiah, I just sent you to the potter, and I want you to grab an earthen vessel, an earthen bottle that was made, something that's hard, something that's already created, and I want you to take it with you as an object lesson. I want you to make it so people can see exactly what I'm referring to. And I want you not only to take that potter's earthen bottle, but notice with me in verse 1, and take of the ancients of people and the ancients of the priest. And so we could see the audience of this message. The audience of this message is not those who are without. It's not dealing with the heathen. It's not dealing with the people who is on the fringe. If we were to make a reference today, this is dealing with the people who are faithful on Sunday night. This is the people who are faithful to Wednesday night. It's not just the Sunday morning glories that only show up to Sunday morning every now and again. But this is a message for those who are in leadership within that church, if we're making the application today. So this is a message for you today. That if you're here, this is a message that God has for you dealing with the Valley of Tophet. And so Jeremiah is to grab an earthen vessel. He's to grab the leadership of God's house at that time. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 2. And go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. So his job is to take all the leadership of God's house, take earthen vessel, and say, follow me. And he leads them all the way up to the edge of the valley of Hinnom. Can you imagine what a powerful backdrop that would make? That Jeremiah, as he's his back towards the fire burning behind him, the smoke raising up, the smell of brimstone, the smell of burning trash behind him, the flames going up, that backdrop as Jeremiah turns and addresses the leadership of God's house at that time, the ancients, and to sit there and proclaim a special message unto them. Notice, if you don't mind, as what happens now is that Jeremiah goes and he gives them the history of what happens. And verse number 4, he goes and explains the history that he says, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned the incense unto other gods, neither have they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for the burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, neither spake of it, neither came it to my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall be no more called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And so what he does is he begins to explain to the ancients, and he delivers a special message saying, you know what this place represents. You know what this is like. And let me tell you that God is telling you that you need to get right. When he gets done with preaching with the ancients, he goes down still smelling of fire, still smelling of brimstone. And he goes down into the Lord's house. Notice with me in verse 14. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. So Jeremiah speaks to the ancients and delivers a message. He goes down and delivers the same exact message to those people within the Lord's house. And so as we understand the audience is not those who are lost. It's not those that are not here. It is not dealing with those that are heathen. It is dealing with church folks tonight as an application. This is a message for you tonight. This morning, this is a message that God has for you, that he is trying to give illustration. He's using an object lesson, saying that you have a problem, and your problem is a hard heart. That previously, what God wants is he wants us as the clay, that it's soft and moldable in our hands. But unfortunately, we've hardened. Unfortunately, we're at the place where you could no longer be molded. That you say, I want my way, not God's way. Notice as God kind of repeats this message in other parts of Jeremiah. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 7. What is this message of Tophet? What is this message that's supposed to be delivered? The book of Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And notice with me starting at verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of the God of Israel, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. So what is happening is that Jeremiah is going back and saying, all right, remember when God, with the plagues of Egypt and with the parting of the Red Sea, brought you out of Egypt. And before he gave you the law, he gave you a simple commandment. Notice with me in verse number 23. But this thing commanded I, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and walk all the ways that I have commanded you, and it shall be well to you. That what happened is that God delivered a message to the children of Israel before he even gave them a law, before he gave them any of the commandments. He said this. This is simple. Obey me, love me, and I will bless you. Isn't that simple? That is the simple thing that God wants from everyone. Love me, obey me, and I will bless you. Love me, obey me, and I will bless you. But the problem is that people do not love the Lord anymore. That they don't have that as the motive anymore. That God is no longer their desire. That today, that we have a type of Christianity that is so far away from God that if God doesn't show up, they don't know about it. You understand, people show up to church today to be entertained. People show up to church sometimes because they want their needs met, but very few people show up to church so they could fall in love with the Lord even more. But that should be our desire, is that we should come to fall in love with the Lord more, that I can know Him, know more about Him. But God made it simple. Love me, obey me, and it will be well with thee. Notice as it goes on in verse number 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Instead of getting closer to the Lord, they went further away from the Lord. They backslid. They backpedaled. They went away from God. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, even I have sent unto you my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. Now God says, all right, now when I brought you out of Egypt, the very first thing I told you was to love me, obey me, and I will bless you. And you didn't listen. So God said, I sent preachers. And the preachers had the same message. Love me, obey me, and I will bless you. And he said, I sent preachers early. I sent preachers often. But what happened in verse number 26? Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. Notice this phrase, they did worse than their fathers. You understand that each generation of Christians is getting worse and worse and worse. That the generation of Christians that we have today is so far removed from what God intended. The type of Christianity we have today is a lot worse than what it was in the previous generation. And the previous generation was a lot worse than the generation before that. If you took a Christian from the 1800s and brought them into a church today, they would say, these are Christians? Because we are so far removed. And we're happy. We think we're fine. We enjoy the life that we have, but we're so far away from God. It doesn't even match up. And God says, they're hardened. They're so far from me. They're worse than their fathers. Verse 27, therefore thou shalt speak all the words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call to them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord thy God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Notice if verse 31, as we bounce down a little bit more, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. You know, that's a bad saying there. That God said, when I created man, it never popped in my mind, it never was my intention for them to take their own children and sacrifice them in a fire. He said, this is not what I intended. You understand that's pretty evil when we go so far that God said, that I didn't even have that in my mind when I made you. That wasn't a thing that I desired to see. Verse 32, therefore behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. This is what Jeremiah is preaching to those people as he's got them on the hill with the backstop of Tophet burning behind him. This is what he's telling them. He says, you're much worse than your fathers. The simple solution is what God said, to love me, to obey me, and I will bless you. But you refuse to. You want it your own way. You're hardened now. You've not hearkened unto me. Instead of being moldable and soft, you refuse to take correction. You refuse to even acknowledge that it is you who are wrong. You who need to be fixed. You who's not in love with the Lord. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 6. Notice what God says. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 14. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall, and the entire time that I visit them, they shall be cast down. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and walk therein. But ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I sent the watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. You understand that God is saying, I wanted you to be moldable. I want you to be a place where I can continue to make you the image, the vessel that I want you to have, the instrument in my hands. I want you to be a place where you're pliable, where I can make you. But instead, you refuse to obey me. You refuse to love me. You refuse, and you're getting hardened and hardened and hardened. And God says, I'm done with it. Break it. I'm done. I'm done. Because you refuse to love God. You refuse to listen. God says, I'm not going to bless you. I'm going to break you. When all I ask is for you to love me and obey me. Notice this message going on in Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah 19. Remember, Jeremiah is holding that pot in his hands. And he's preaching the same thing I just preached to you. The same exact thing he said before those people. And he's got that vessel. And notice with me in verse number 10. Then shall thou break the bottle in the sight of men that go with thee. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel, that it cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do to this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and make this place as the city of Tophet. And God goes on and explains that he is not angry. You understand, the simple thing that God wants, it's not complicated, is to love him, to obey him, and he will bless. Remember, this is not to the lost people. This is not a message that's addressed to those who are fringe. This is addressed to those people who are the central, the leadership of God's house. Jeremiah takes him out and says, God has just given you something simple. To love him. To obey him, and he'll bless you. To be soft in God's hands. But you've disobeyed, and you've hardened your hearts, and now the only thing I could do is break it, God says. The message of the Valley of Tophet is for you, not someone else, you, to come to God and say, God, I need to love you, and I need to obey you. Make me soft in your hands. You mold me and make me. You do whatever you see fit. I'm surrendered to you. Don't let me be hardened. Otherwise, God says, you're useless. I'm going to break you. I'm done. The message of the Valley of Tophet for us who are saved is to fall in love with the Lord. That is our responsibility. To allow God to make us moldable and makeable. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.